Okay, first, I'm glad to be joined, of course, by our great mayor, Byron Brown. He does a fabulous job for Buffalo, and we work closely together on so many different issues. We have our Cheektowaga Sound Supervisor, Brian Nowak. Thank you for being here, Brian. We have our Deputy County Executive, Lisa Shimera. And we also have some real experts here. I am honored to be joined by Dr. Michael Morgan, our Assistant Secretary of Commerce. Thank you for coming. He came up from Washington because this stuff is so important. He's in charge of environmental observation and prediction. That's a fancy word for weather. We also have Michael Fries, the meteorologist in charge of this station, who was taking me on a little tour. There he is. We have our Erie County Commissioner of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, Dan Neverth. We thank you for coming. Where's Dan?
I took his place.
Yeah. Oh, you took his place.
Greg Butcher.
We have Chief Butcher, who is here as well. So thank you all for being here on a very important topic. Okay, so let's get right to it. Look, we all know that Buffalo's no stranger to extreme weather. And the National Weather Service headquarters here is a hub for where our region gets its weather reports. This hub is really important, and it's right here in Buffalo, and it serves the entire region of Western New York to keep us safe, give us warnings, etc. And of course, usually the extreme weather we're used to here in Western New York is snow, a lot of snow in the winter. But now, usually the extreme weather we're used to in Western New York is snow, a lot of snow in the winter. But the extreme weather, because of climate change and everything else, is different than it used to be. And this year, we've seen a record-setting number of tornadoes that we have seen. And where's the thing I'm supposed to hold up, Matt? Ah, here. Okay. So this, look at this, folks. I can't put all my papers here because of all the... This map here, folks, is... shows you all the tornadoes we've had here. We've had a record-setting number of tornadoes, and these are all the tornadoes with all the different areas. There are 32 severe thunderstorm warnings, 8 tornado warnings, and 4 flash flood warnings. We didn't see this before. I don't know, when was the last time we saw a tornado in Buffalo?
We don't have one on current record.
Okay, actually, first ever. Unfortunately, because of climate change, this kind of extreme weather is not unusual anymore. It's not going to be unusual anymore. I'm not going to predict the weather. That's for these folks here. But it is a problem. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And so last week, as I said, we had as everyone knows, we had a tornado in downtown Buffalo. Our deputy county executive told me it went right by. She watched it and go right by her window.
Yes, that's true.
The tornado was the 26th tornado in upstate New York that broke the record for the most tornadoes ever in the state's history. And then over the weekend, we saw more bad weather, devastating flooding that affected Steuben County, Cattaraugus County, and some of the North Country as well. Unfortunately, the extreme weather summer that we've had is becoming more common. There will be more of it in the future just because our climate is changing so rapidly. But it shows how important the work that is done here at the National Weather Service is. If we can predict what's happening with both a degree of on-time accuracy and geographic accuracy, it's very, very helpful. If you say there's going to be a storm in Western New York, everyone shrugs their shoulders. If you're going to say that this storm or tornado is likely to hit the West Side, the specific area knows what kind of precautions to take. So these systems are critical. But unfortunately, they're on the chopping block. So we have two things I want to talk about here. First, there's a extreme report floating around Washington, you've probably heard of it, called Project 2025. That is the project put together by some of these extreme MAGA folks, but if they get into power next year, they're going to implement it. You know what they want to do? Close this place down. They want to privatize the whole weather service. And what does that mean? That means it's going to cost a lot more money to get weather reports. If you're a big business or a wealthy individual, you might be able to afford it. But what about our little homeowners, our little small businesses, our little farmers? Weather service has always been something the federal government has done to help people understand the weather, but to save dollars so they can predict and react. But this report would cut funding across the board and says privatize the National Weather Service. And that means it could put weather reports that everyone relies on behind a paywall. You might even have to pay to add weather service to your TV, or the TV would charge you. Now, you don't need a weatherman to forecast that a plan like that would cause major problems for Western New Yorkers who rely on real-time weather data for storms. It's particularly important here in Western New York because we do have lots of severe storms often, and this would affect the snowstorm prediction in the winter as well as the predictions of weather in the summer. Winter's coming. We know there are going to be terrible storms in New York and across the country. And just imagine the next major lake effect snowstorm was coming in and the data was delayed because we didn't have weather services. So when it comes to storms, every hour, every minute saves lives. I believe we should be investing, not defunding, our storm tracking systems. So I'm not only here to say that I will fight to block any of these extreme anti-government proposals. I will not let them privatize and shut down this weather center so vital to Western New York. But second, we need to actually invest. There are new advances called a mesonet that let us predict weather far more accurately and far more locally. The mesonets are little satellites in effect on the ground. I believe there are 127 of them in New York State. And they not only are more localized, so they can help us localize where the weather is, but they are more accurate and are able to tell things in advance because they're able to look at the atmosphere at different layers. So they look at what's happened at 500 feet up, 1,000 feet up, 2,000 feet up, all the way up into the stratosphere. So this is a great system. And it can allow more timely, more quick, and more localized weather prediction, which will save money and save lives. And so I am, as majority leader, going to work hard to put $30 million in the new budget that's coming up to increase the mesonet system here in New York. We're the most advanced mesonet system in the country. It works. It gives us more accurate, more timely, and more localized weather. We call it hyperlocal and real time, and it does both. Erie County is home to three of these mesonets. They're located in different places, so you get different readings because the atmosphere these days is different in different places. And that's why I'm here today. I'm going to supercharge my push for the money for $30 million in federal funding to increase these mesonets. There are mesonet stations providing high-quality weather data service for every single county in New York. And some of the larger counties have more, as I mentioned. There are three here in Erie County, one right here in the city of Buffalo, and they're in Burnt, East Aurora, and Brant, and it's data that anyone can access. Last year, I fought to get the first $3-4 million for this system, and it's been a huge success. We didn't want to put all the money in at once. We wanted to see and get it working, but it's working now. And our weather folks, our weather experts, these are not politicians, tell us that this money is needed and can be very well used in making the forecasts quicker, more accurate, and more localized. So, that's state of the art. It's real bang for our buck. It's a small amount of money that gives a huge, huge payback. So not only am I going to fight any efforts to privatize and close this place down so vital to Western New York, but I'm going to push to invest $30 million, and I'm optimistic. This is not a partisan issue. Everyone, Democrat, Republican, liberal, moderate, conservative, wants accurate weather reports just for our lives, our safety, and just our planning in our day-to-day lives and our day-to-day events. Now, experts say the mesonet system improves the situational awareness of emergency managers. They tell what has just happened, what has happened right now, and what's about to happen next. So they look at the past, the present, and the future. And with AI and all this new, computer systems, that all the data can be put together more accurately, more quickly, and more usably for a very long time. So we're going to fight for more observation stations to fill the coverage. We're going to fight for greater technology so they can even reach higher up into the sky, what, to about a 50,000-foot level, is it? Yes, about that stratosphere, whatever that is, however high that is. beef up the technology and updating things with AI. So these are common sense investments. They keep Western New York safe. If the extreme people have their way, our forecasting ability could go dark. But if we have our way, we'll have even better forecasting, and that's what we're fighting to do. So before I call on our elected officials, we are, again, as I said, let me just get the list here. We are honored to have Dr. Morgan, who's the Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Environmental Observation and Prediction, come up here to Western New York to augment what I'm saying. Go ahead, Dr. Morgan. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Senator. And thank you and good morning. Really delighted to be here at the forecast office. Thank you, Mayor Brown. And thank you, Senator Schumer, for your support for NOAA and the recognition of the men and women of the National Weather Service. Our nation is experiencing an increasing number of high-impact weather events, from record-breaking tornado events, excessive rainfall, heat waves, intense wildfires, and hurricanes. So far, just in this year, we've had the most number of severe thunderstorm and tornado warnings to date since 2011. Over 1,300 severe thunderstorm warnings, over 2,000 tornado warnings. 45 states with flash flood warnings and 48 states with river flood warnings, and more than 21,000 wildfires as of the middle of this year, July 1st. In addition to weather, we're also seeing the signs of climate change in front of our very eyes. June of 2024 marked the warmest June on record for global average surface temperatures and the 13th consecutive month of record high global temperatures. June of 2024 also was the 15th consecutive month for record warm sea surface temperatures. Our climate is indeed changing, and we must be at the forefront to ensure that the nation receives the best forecast and warnings to take life and property saving measures. The demand for National Weather Service data is increasing rapidly, and the agency is responding by stepping up its surge capacity. NOAA provides environmental intelligence you need to monitor, forecast, and prepare for weather events and climate change. We monitor the weather and climate from our satellites, radars, buoys, to our Mesonet and Hurricane Hunter airplanes. The National Mesonet Program, as Senator Schumer has discussed, has evolved from a handful of participants into a nationwide network of networks, providing invaluable non-federal data for weather and climate to NOAA and to other government organizations, to emergency planners and first responders, to researchers and as well to the public. These Mesonets offer hyper-local data so that communities can make the best decisions using data relevant to their locations. Thanks to the Mesonet program, NOAA takes one step forward to providing equitable climate services and equipping communities with better information. Our next generation radar, called Radar Next, will provide continuity for our existing radars, which have reached the near end of their life. Improved coverage, these new radars will also scan the sky more quickly, discerning storms and their evolution in more detail, and provide more robust infrastructure for more timely, accurate forecast to improve public safety and enhance disaster preparedness. The National Weather Service is also creating a new capability called Warn on Forecast, which has the potential for delivering longer lead time for tornado warnings. The vision is to move from several minutes of advancing warnings of a possible tornado up to an hour or perhaps a bit more to warn the public and decision makers to take the proper actions for safety. Most excitingly, the Weather Service is in the midst of a transformation. Our agency is transforming to better serve people across our nation by deploying directly into communities and providing earlier and more actionable information to state and local decision makers, especially emergency managers. NOAA is also leaning forward with our capabilities, building our capabilities in data simulation and AI for weather prediction, including our support for the next generation of skilled workforce and creating the core competencies like data simulation to enable AI for weather forecasting. In closing, we all know that the demand for timely, accurate, actionable environmental intelligence in terms of forecast, is rapidly increasing. Thank you, Senator Schumer, for supporting the NOAA and the National Weather Service to keep up with that growing demand. And now I invite Mike Fries, our meteorologist in charge, to the microphone.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to welcome you to the Buffalo Forecast Office, where our forecasters provide 24/7 forecasts and warnings for about 2.5 million people in 16 counties across the state of New York. It's been an unprecedented year for tornadoes in our area. We've actually had 10 tornadoes in our forecast area as a whole, including 4 in western New York. And as of this morning, we are up to 28 tornadoes in the state for the year. And that is just this summer.
This is what, here, so you can all get a picture of this. This is what this chart shows. This chart shows how many we have and where they are. And this forecasting station is not just for Erie County, but it's for all of western New York, which has had a series of these problems as well. Okay, thank you.
So to put those numbers in historical context, the number of tornadoes we've seen in our forecast area is about 7 times the normal amount of tornadoes that we see in a year. And also on New York State as a whole, the normal amount of tornadoes in a year is about 9. So we're over 3 times that number now. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Erie County, both Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, Dan Neverth, and Greg Butcher, who's here with us today, who we have a long and productive working relationship with, as well as Mayor Byron Brown and Commissioner Martin that are here from the city. Erie County was one of our first storm-ready communities when the storm-ready program was spun up decades ago, and the City of Buffalo is our most recent one. We have expanded our relationship with the City of Buffalo drastically in the last couple of years, and it's a credit to the people in this room for that. And on August 5th, we saw the importance of becoming storm-ready. Actually, within about 15 minutes of damage occurring on the west side of Buffalo and downtown, both officials from the City of Buffalo as well as Erie County were reaching out to us to come and look at the damage. In fact, within 2 hours, our office was on the ground in the City of Buffalo surveying the damage with the City of Buffalo Fire Department, Police Department, and Engineering Department. We saw several damaged buildings, a lot of downed trees, traffic lights, and power outages, but thankfully, no one was injured. We appreciate the successful coordination over the years with Erie County and the City of Buffalo and the partnership that all of you have shown this agency. And thank you, Senator Schumer, for your work to improve the technology and the observations that we need to meet our mission.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Senator.
Appreciate it. And next, we have our great mayor of the city who is involved in just about every action in the city, and that's Mayor Brown.
Thank you very much, Senator Schumer. I want to thank Senator Schumer and Dr. Morgan for being here today. And I want to thank Senator Schumer for playing a leading role in investing in weather detection systems, supporting NOAA, and supporting the National Weather Service. Oftentimes in Buffalo, when we experience extreme weather, one of the first phone calls that I receive is from Senator Schumer.
Yes.
And on August 5th, when we experienced the tornado on the west side of Buffalo and downtown Buffalo, again, one of the first calls that I received was from Senator Schumer. I also want to recognize Governor Hochul for her call, and County Executive Mark Poloncarz and I went out and surveyed the damage. The response was very swift. In the City of Buffalo with city agencies, our Commissioner of Public Works, Nate Martin, is here, and county agencies. And I want to recognize Mike Fries, because when we have had extreme weather, Mike often embeds with the City of Buffalo and Erie County, making sure that we have the most accurate and up-to-date information to be able to provide for the public. So climate change is real, and we're certainly seeing that in Buffalo, Erie County, Western New York, and all across the state of New York. Being able to get accurate and timely information about extreme weather coming into a community is critical. It helps us to adjust our response and respond more effectively, saving lives and saving property. So, Senator Schumer, we thank you
Your
leadership on this and so many issues that affect our community.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you.
Our Deputy County Executive, do you want to say a few words?
Sure. Thank you, Senator Schumer. You know, it is so critically important that we have the very best technology to make sure our residents are safe. We worked collaboratively, the county and the city of Buffalo, under the leadership of Mayor Brown, to make sure we have a COAD that's active, to make sure that we have emergency care kits. We've educated our residents, but without accurate weather forecasting, it will not work. So I appreciate Senator Schumer for your advocacy, making sure that you're doing whatever you can to keep the residents of Erie County safe. So thanks,
Susan. Thank you. Lisa. Now we have Susan. Susan Clark is a professor at UB on environmental sustainability.
Yep.
And something else.
Environment and sustainability. You got it.
Yes, okay.
thank you.
She's very smart. Let's put it like that.
Well, it's a pleasure being here today, and thank you all for having me. As you've heard, the city of Buffalo and New York State have been greatly impacted by tornadoes. New Yorkers have experienced 28 tornadoes so far this year, which is about three times what is expected for the region. This includes a record for July of the most tornadoes occurring in 1 month in New York State's recorded history. Although this trend may or may not continue in the future, becoming more prepared for tornadoes will help us become more resilient to other types of severe weather as well. Due to a warming climate, our region is expected to experience increasing intensity and frequency of heat waves, lake effect snowstorms like the 2022 holiday blizzard, heavy precipitation events and flooding, as well as reduced air quality impacts from wildfires occurring elsewhere in North America as we experienced here last summer. More broadly as a nation, there are other weather-related vulnerabilities that we face, including more severe hurricanes and storm surges, drought and heat waves that make wildfires more likely, and yes, more severe thunderstorms and tornado outbreaks. So although tornadoes are a recent concern here, many types of severe weather are increasing in likelihood, for which improved weather forecasting would support better preparation and resiliency. Investing in more precise weather forecasting and monitoring will no doubt help New York and America become more prepared for increasing severe weather of all kinds and reduce the impacts of these events on people and their communities.
Thank you very much, Dr. Clark. Okay, I've been asked, I'll do this before we get into Q&A on this subject. I was asked to talk a little bit about Supervisor Nowak. I didn't have you on the list, but go right ahead, please.
I'll be brief. I'm about 7 months into my term, a little more than that, and I started it off with Mr. Butcher, our deputy county executive, and other folks in Storm Center responding to a major winter event early in January. And a little over a week ago, we had a tornado here. I asked the folks in my town about their tornadoes that they remember. They bring up 1987 in the Holiday Showcase on Union Road. It's the year I was born, just to give you an idea of how rare something like this is.
And you survived.
Yeah. But it's something like the idea of privatizing NOAA is just strange to me. I don't understand what the motivation of something like that comes from. I mean, I get it. It's the Heritage Foundation. They want to privatize everything. But there's just some things that we do better together.
Right.
And that's what's being stressed here today. And I just want to reinforce that point.
Thank you, Supervisor. And thanks for the good job you do for Cheektowaga. Okay, so I was asked by a few folks to talk a little bit about the hacking into President Trump's campaign. So I'll say a few words on that, then we'll take questions on this subject on the weather. Okay, well, the FBI has now confirmed that it is investigating the alleged hacking of the Trump campaign. It's also been reported the investigation includes attempts to hack the then Biden-Harris campaign a few months back. This is an ongoing investigation, so I can't comment on the specifics. However, this is a tactic, the hack and leak, that we have seen coming from foreign adversaries in the past, including in the 2016 presidential election. Our adversaries are intent on sowing chaos and undermining our democratic process. They've done it before. So we have to stand firm to ensure that our cybersecurity can withstand such intrusions as we head into November. Okay, now we'll take questions here on the Weather Service.
When you're talking about defunding the National Weather Service, you're talking about Project 2025.
Correct.
It's hard to judge how seriously you should take Project 2025 when the Trump campaign is publicly distancing itself from it.
Well,
how seriously do you take?
Okay, I take it very seriously. The hard right group that came out with this, many of them are former Trump employees. Many of them, one of them who is active in it, is reputed to going to be Trump's chief of staff. And they've always believed this. And then when the hard right gets into power, they get a lot done. So I think we have to take this very seriously. I've been talking about it for a while. Last week, they proposed cutting veterans benefits in the PACT Act, which we worked so hard to get done, you know, for our veterans who got exposure to the burn pits. So this is a group, and, you know, Supervisor Nowak asked, why are they doing it? They really come from a group of very, very wealthy people who just don't want to pay any taxes at all. They're the same people who don't even want to help the Ukrainians, even though Putin might be at our border. Not our border, but the Polish border.
Senator, on that point, let's face it, there were Democrats that called for defund the police. I'm sure you didn't agree with
that. I did not.
And have you ever heard former President Trump specifically say he wants to defund the National Weather Service?
The word was that he was supportive of Project 2025 before all of it came out and there was such public opprobrium. So I would take seriously anything in that project should he become president.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
The gentleman that Trump nominated for NOAA was a former CEO of AccuWeather, and he's on record being a privatizer. So he's already made moves to reinforce this idea.
Right. Well, we'll talk to the senator.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Senator, can I ask you one last thing here, too, about the state of New York?
Yes, please.
Back in 2016, Governor Cuomo then proposed a $23 million MesoNet system for the state of New York, basically talking about Hurricane Sandy, things of that nature, saying that the Weather Service wasn't giving them timely enough information.
Yeah.
Is this tapped in now?
Yes.
Is the NWS? Are they working? Because taxpayers here in New York State may be paying $23 million for this.
Yeah, the bottom line is that this is now, this is coordinated between the federal and state. As you can see on this chart here, you may want to take a picture of it. These are the various regions, and they're interlocked. The weather in Ohio may be affecting the weather in Buffalo. And so everyone is now working together on New York system. Sorry. Our New York system is totally tapped into the federal. And because the MesoNet system, we wanted to be careful with taxpayer dollars at the federal level. So we put in $3 million last year to do some experiments and see how it worked. It worked great. So now we're ready for the full $30 million.
The gentleman from NOAA, Secretary, do you agree with that? If you could maybe address that. How are you working with New York State using their MesoNet system?
Right, so the MesoNet data that's taken not only from the New York State MesoNet, but other MesoNets across the country are incorporated into our analyses, into our predictions, and they help, as the Senator mentioned, improve our situational awareness for developing severe weather events.
So New York will know even much more detail about the systems that are in the Midwest or even the West before they get here, and it gives them greater information. And then when they measure all these various atmospheric levels, before they get here and how they've changed when they get here, it gives them a greater ability to forecast more accurately and more timely.
So there's no silos there? No silos.
Right. No.
If I recall right, that state investment was sort of a slow rollout. Is that entirely in place at this point, or is that something
that I don't know.
I can't speak to that.
Okay. Any other questions on this subject?
I guess we've been asked, if with the mayor right behind you there, I mean, I know there are certain thresholds for federal assistance.
Yes. Okay, I'll say something and then the mayor can say it. There are thresholds, and we are now working with the city and with the county to see if we can meet those thresholds. I've already asked FEMA to be on the ground and help make that count. I believe they are here and doing just that now. You have to reach those thresholds, but sometimes the accurate count would get to the thresholds and they're not done, you know, carefully and most accurately. Our mayor and our supervisor are working really well to make sure that all the damages is collected up. And so that's what we're looking for here. We don't know if we'll reach the threshold yet. It's too early to tell. Do you want to say something?
Sure. There? On extreme weather events in the city of Buffalo, to reach the FEMA thresholds, the city works very closely with the county executive polling cars. We also work very closely with Senator Schumer's office, and we have our fire department, police department, public works department, inspections department on the ground, making sure that the information that we collect on the cost estimates is accurate, so that we can provide that information to FEMA for the ability to reach the thresholds.
The state hasn't yet asked to declare a disaster area. They're working with us to wait the count.
Senator, I'll ask you one last question, I promise.
Listen, you always ask good questions, so I'm happy to.
This deals with the back end of these storms. We spoke to an insurance broker, Craig Willoughby Insurance. He had said that there is a bit of a crisis right now with the property insurance industry.
Yes.
Because of the storms across the country,
yep,
and what have you. Do you foresee this as something that Congress should look into?
Okay.
And what realistically?
Certain states, it's out of control. Thank God, not New York at this point. Texas, Florida, the rates are so high that certain people have to sell their homes. Now, they've had many more storms, and I think they're less on the ground protecting things than New York is. But this is something we're going to have to look at across the board. We can't have insurance policies go so sky high that people are either forced out of their homes or have to pay far too much money for it. So far, New York is in better shape than most states. We'll have to keep a careful eye on it.